Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I've entitled this message, "Understanding the Will of the Lord," or "Understanding God's Will." Not knowing God's will, but understanding God's will. Now, generally, when people think of God's will, they think of God's will for my life, what His plan, what His purpose is in my life. And I've even heard preachers say, "God's got a wonderful plan for you." And that is not scriptural. That kind of thinking, you don't read things like that in the Bible. Whatever God purposes for you will take place. There's no such thing as missing out on God's will. God's will always takes place. So I hope we can get that kind of thinking out of our mind. What is God's will for my life and your life? Whatever's taken place up to this point, you're up to your neck in it. God is in control. What about after today? Well, everything that happens between now and your death will be God's will in your life. I hope you'll understand this by the end of this message. I hope I understand it. Paul said, "Be not unwise." The word is generally translated foolish, without reason, without mental sanity or sobriety, a lack of common sense, no perception of the reality of things. Be not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I can understand somebody thinking like this: "Well, how in the world can I know God's will? I'm so finite, I'm so little in the grand scheme of things. How can I claim to have some understanding of the will of God? That seems transcendent, above our ability." Well, I understand someone thinking that way, but there's something called the Bible. God has written this book. It's inspired by God. Now, the only way we can know His will is because He has revealed His will in His Word. This is not my guess or my thought or my stab at trying to figure out what God's will is. God has made His will known in His Word. I love Deuteronomy 29, 29. Moses says, "The secret things belong to the Lord." Now, what are the secret things? The things we don't know. They belong to the Lord. He knows. But the things that are revealed belong to us and our children, that we might do all the words of this law. God has made His will known in this book we call the Bible. The Bible claims inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, every word, and I have no doubt that it is God's Word. And there's no way we could know anything true regarding the will of God unless He's pleased to make it known. And He has made His will known in His Word. There is such a thing as the will of God. God is a person. God has a consciousness. God has a will. God has an intent. God has a purpose, the will of God. Now, the first thing I would like to say with regard to God's will is it is consistent with all of his other attributes. Now, God has made known his attributes, his characteristics in his word. This is how we can know what God is like from what he has revealed himself to be in his word. For instance, God is eternal. He never had a beginning. God's will is eternal. It's what he has always willed. God is sovereign. That means he is the cause, the first cause of all things. And you can't take that too far. God is absolutely sovereign. That means he does what he wills to do all the time. God is immutable. He cannot change. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is immutable. His will does not change. What his will was, his will is. What his will always will be. This is in line with the character of God. God is all-powerful. He has the power to always make his will come to pass. God is omniscient. He knows everything. He's never surprised. He never responds to anything. He knows all. And that's why his will is always done. God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at once. He's a spirit. He is the spirit. He is not bound by time and space the way you and I are. There's nowhere where he's not where he can't make sure his will takes place. God is independent. That means he has no needs. He doesn't need me or you to fulfill something missing in him. He's utterly independent. He has life in himself. What he wills is simply what he wills. Now, before I go on any more with this thing about God's will, I want us to realize that there is no such thing as free will in God or men. People talk about free will all the time, but you won't find that taught in the Scripture. Your will is controlled by your nature. God doesn't have a free will in the sense that he can't decide to sin. Scripture says he can't lie. He can't do evil. His will is controlled by his nature. And man's will is controlled by his nature. We're born into this world with a sinful nature, with an evil nature. And therefore, the very idea of free will is absurd. That doesn't mean we don't do what we want to do. God does what he wants to do. And when you and I sin, we're doing what we want to do. But to speak of free will is really to speak of an absurdity. There's no such thing. Now, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. To understand God's will, we have to understand his will of command and his will of purpose or decree. His will of command and his will of purpose or decree. Now, God's will of command is always broken. God's will of decree and purpose is never broken. Now, God's will of command is expressed in the Ten Commandments. Not to have any God before God. Not to make any idols, false ideas and imaginations or figures of God, no religious symbolism and images and idols. We're not to take his name in vain. That's his will. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your mother and father. That's God's will. Don't kill. That's God's will. Don't steal. That's God's will. Do not commit adultery. That's God's will. Do not lie. That's God's will. Do not covet. That's God's will. That's God's will of command. And everybody in this world is born with that light in their conscience. They know it's wrong to lie. Everybody knows it's wrong to murder. Everyone knows it's wrong to steal. Everyone knows sexual sin is wrong. You can't say, well, it's God's will for me to do this. No, it's not. God's will of command. Now, every time we sin, we break His will of command. And that means we break His will of command all the time, because there's never a time I'm without sin. I always have a sinful nature. And if I do it, it's sin. I don't care if I'm praying or reading the Bible, whatever it might be, if I do it because of who did it, it's sin. That's what the Scripture says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we've not sinned, we make Him a liar. That's true all the time. Now, when I break God's command, it is all my fault. I can't say, well, God let me do it. That's what Adam did in the garden. When God said, Adam, where are you? And what have you done? He said, well, the woman that you gave me, she gave me of the fruit, and I did eat. Now, he's blaming his sin on God. If you wouldn't have given me that woman, this would have never happened. May the Lord give us grace to take personal responsibility for our sin. You see, only when my sin is all my fault, I can't blame my mom and dad, I can't blame my circumstances, I can't blame my environment, I can't blame God. All my sin, every commandment I've broken of God, all my sin is all my fault. And it's not until you're brought, and I'm brought to see that my sin's all my fault, that I cry for mercy. If I don't see that my sin's all my fault, if it's somebody else's fault, what I need is justice, not mercy. But if my sin is all my fault before God, what I need is mercy. Now, there's only one person who has ever kept the will of command of God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He never sinned. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. He never disobeyed His Father. He kept every commandment perfectly. Somebody says, well, I try to do my best to keep the commandments of God. You know, when you say something like that, that's not even true. You do not. If you did, you wouldn't sin, but that's not the case. Somebody says, I try to do my best. I try to keep the law. The only obedience the law knows is perfect obedience, not trying your best. That's no good. The only one who ever kept God's law is the Lord Jesus Christ and everybody in Him. I love it when he said, John the Baptist, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You see, when Christ fulfilled all righteousness, he did it as an us. He did it as a representative for everybody in him. Everybody he represents, everybody who trusts him only is their righteousness before God. Every believer has a perfect account before God, the account of Christ. Now, that's God's will of command. He commands me to not lie, not steal, not kill, and so on. That's God's will of command. And then there is God's will of decree. And that covers everything that happens in time without exception. God's will of decree. Everything that happens in time, He purposed in eternity. He is completely sovereign over the free and uncoerced actions of every human being. He's in control of it. Everything that everybody does, He is sovereign over. His will is always done. Nebuchadnezzar said it like this in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? His will is always done. Why did the fall of Adam take place? Well, it was God's purpose. He said before it took place, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. It was God's will for that to take place. Somebody says, well, you're making God the author of evil. I'm not doing any such thing. I'm saying God is God. He's in control of everything. What about the cross? Peter said, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The reason that He was delivered to the cross was because of the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And then he went on to say, You have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. There we see God's absolute sovereignty over this and man's responsibility. I think of what the early church said in Acts chapter 4, and these were new believers, people who hadn't been believers but for a few weeks, but they knew who God was. You see, when you know God, your doctrine is right. When you don't know Him, your doctrine is wrong. But these people knew God. And they said, for the truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. I love this concerning God. He's in control. I love that passage of Scripture where He says He has mercy on whom He will have mercy and whom He will He hardens. And the response is, well, why does He yet find fault? For who hath resisted His will? If that's the case, if He has mercy on whom He will and whom He will He hardens, if He hardened my heart, how can He hold me responsible for my sin if He hardened my heart? And I love Paul's response, nay, but O man, who are you to reply against God? Since when do you have the moral authority to stand in judgment over God and say, I don't agree with what He's doing? You have no place, I have no place for any such thinking. God is God. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Everything He does according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 9 says, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. We read in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, this is who He is. His will is absolute. It's always done. It's eternal. We read in Ephesians 3:11 of the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's immutable. God's not a man that He should repent. It's not going to change. It's efficacious. His will can't be thwarted. I love what David said. He said, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Not He will do or can do, but He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased all the time. You see, God's will doesn't have to have contingency plans or conditions that must be met before His will can take place. God's will is causeless. There's no reason for it outside of Himself, His own free and sovereign will. He said, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Oh, I love to think of the supremacy of the will of God. Oh, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. Now, the supremacy of God's will is seen in these three things: creation, providence, and salvation. Now, in creation, God created the universe by an act of His will. There was a time when there was no time, and God was all there was, and God willed the universe into existence. Creation came into existence as a result of His will. That's how supreme His will was. He didn't consult with me or you about it, did He? We weren't around. He simply willed the creation into existence. Revelation 4:11 says, thou hast created all things for thyself and for thy pleasure. They are and were created. God is the creator. Atheism is irrational and unreasonable. Someone had to make all this, and nobody made Him. The supremacy of His will is seen in providence. Everything that happens in time was decreed by God in eternity, and there is no exceptions to that. Somebody says that's fatalism. No, it's not fatalism. It's who God is. God really is God. He controls everything and every event and everybody. Listen to this passage of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 46, beginning in verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. The lot is cast into the lap, Proverbs 16:33, and we think of that as chance, luck, happenstance. But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. How we love Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things. God is in control of everything. Everything that happens in time, He is in control of, and He's bringing His purpose to pass. Now, we might not see what He's doing. You remember Joseph? He didn't know why he was thrown into prison. He didn't know why his brothers betrayed him. He didn't know why the woman made that false accusation against him, but he went on to tell his brothers when they find out who he is. He said, you meant it for evil, what you were doing. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And that's true concerning everything. God brings good out of evil all the time. Thou hast made all things for thyself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. But the supremacy of His will is most especially seen in salvation. Now, here's where men chafe. They'll say, well, I can see God as creator, and it's only logical to think that He's in control of everything if He's God. But here's where men chafe, is that God's will is supreme in salvation. Now, what that means is, mind your salvation is up to Him. It's not up to me or you. We don't have any control in this. Salvation is according to His will, not according to our will, according to His will. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, the reason men chafe at this is because they've been hearing all their life that God loves everybody and wants to save everybody, and Christ died for everybody and wants to save everybody, and God loves everybody, and God wills the salvation of all men without exception. God the Holy Spirit's calling everybody. That's what men have heard, but you can't get that from the Scripture. That is not what the Bible teaches. I repeat, that is not what the Bible teaches. And if somebody believes that God wills the salvation of all men, and yet some of those men are not saved, that means God's will is not what saves them. It means something they do. It's the teaching of salvation by works. If somebody believes that Jesus Christ paid for everybody's sins, but some of those people He died for may not be saved, they say His death doesn't save. It has to be something you do. That's a message of salvation by works. And to hear that salvation is altogether up to Him. Listen to this scripture. The Lord said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. As John 5:21, as the Father raises the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom He will. James 1:18, of His own will beget He us through the word of truth. Scripture says it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. He has mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will, He hardens. Now, how does this affect me personally? How does this affect you personally? To see that God's will is supreme in control of everything. Well, totally dependent on whether you love this or hate it. Somebody says, well, I'm indifferent about it. Well, you're a fool if you're indifferent about it. That's all I can say to you. You're a fool. But if you hate this, it's because you hate God, and you hate the God that I'm describing, and you don't see any safety in this God. You think that there's no safety in salvation being according to His will. But you love this. You love this. If you really believe that you're so sinful in and of yourself that you can't do anything to save yourself, and your salvation is completely and totally dependent upon His will. You understand what the leper meant when he came into the presence of Christ and he fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever been made to see that you can't make yourself clean? You can't will your salvation. I know preachers have presented for the last century anyway, like God wants to forgive you, Christ wants to forgive you, you've got to let him. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. You don't come into his presence and say, I'm going to let you forgive me. Why, that's offensive to even think in that term. You come like the leper did. Lord, he was full of leprosy, full of sin. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Do you know anybody that's ever came into the Lord's presence with that prayer has heard the same thing the leper did? The Lord was moved with compassion, the scripture says, and he said, I will be thou clean. Now, the only way me or you will be saved is if God wills it. I hope you can get a hold of that. If you see your own sinfulness, you see that. So if you see your own sinfulness and how you can't will your salvation, and how you can't make yourself be saved, and your salvation's totally in his hand, his sovereign hand, come to him like the leper did. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And what a blessing it is to be able to say from our hearts, thy will be done. What a blessing it is to say from our hearts, if the Lord will, we'll do this or we'll do that. What a blessing it is when the Lord enables us to submit to his will and think it's best. The will of the Lord be done. I think of that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where Paul said, in everything give thanks, no matter what it is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever's going on with you, that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He's in absolute sovereign control of it. Give thanks. I'm so thankful for the supremacy of his will. That gives a sinner like me hope. I come into God's presence. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he says, I will. Be thou clean. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you write the church, call or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niper praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nibert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.